The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The UN says that its peacekeepers in southern Lebanon will stay in their positions despite repeated demands by Israel that they should move out of the way of its forces there. Meanwhile, at least 21 people have been killed and 8 others injured in an Israeli airstrike targeting a predominantly Christian village in northern Lebanon. I'm joined by Duncan Bullivant, special advisor to the head of the Bosnia Peacekeeping Mission, part of the UK mission to Kosovo in 1999, CEO of the Henderson Risk Group and International Risk Management Advisory. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, that attack on the largely Christian village in northern Lebanon, what was that all about?
Well, I think there are two theories at the moment. One is that it was a mistake and that it was the wrong target. And the other theory is that within that community, there were people of interest and targets, high-value targets for the Israeli Defense Force, and they went after them. I think at this stage of the game, it is being seen more as a mistake and an error rather than the latter.
A mistake that costs 21 people their lives and perhaps more when the rubble is removed. The impunity and the effrontery of Israel in this endeavour is shocking.
I think we have crossed a Rubicon in terms of the level of incredulity now with the Israeli campaign. I think from a sort of rather macabre point of view, the fascination as to where this ends up is just getting worse and worse and worse. The idea now that Benjamin Netanyahu, who holds all the initiative in the region, is effectively the individual who will decide the fate of global oil prices, further escalation of this conflict, and the continued use of unrestrained, what would appear to be unrestrained violence now, both in Gaza and in Lebanon, is really stretching the credibility of the international community. The issue regarding the United Nations peacekeeping force, of which, of course, Ireland has a deeply, deeply intimate relationship with, has lost many peacekeepers over the years. It's a complex one. I mean, there is a question mark as to the effectiveness of that peacekeeping mission in the last few years, because Hezbollah have established operating bases, tunnels, arms caches. It would appear under the noses of those security forces. But by the same token, the idea that a Netanyahu-led administration should be giving orders to the United Nations and demanding peacekeepers be withdrawn, that's a line that must never be crossed. And well done, the United Nations, for standing firm.
Now, when you say oil prices and the security of the world, the security of the region is in the hands of one man, it's rather also in the hands of the United States, who have failed to curb his appetite.
We're in an election year. We've covered this before. So the Biden-Harris administration don't want to put a foot wrong because there are obvious implications for domestic voter reasons. Nobody wants to be seen to be hammering or criticizing Israel too strongly ahead of a November election. But by the same token, the potential for a Trump administration doesn't bode well for Netanyahu, because Trump has been quite an outspoken critic of Netanyahu's over the years. But by the same token, also, the Iranians see Trump as a real threat. Don't forget, it was Trump who actually authorized the 2020 assassination of Soleimani in Baghdad, who was the guy responsible for running the Al-Quds brigades. All these characters were involved in building up Hezbollah and Hamas over the years. So these actors have barely left the stage over the last 10 years. I think with regard to Netanyahu at this point, there seems to be very little left in the United States armory to pull him back from the brink. You know, he's made statements now in the last 72 hours saying that they'll do whatever is in Israel's interests, which means that it's all up for grabs at this stage of the game in terms of the Israeli response to Iran. And the question I would ask at this point as an observer of this situation is, why would Israel show any restraint in terms of its response to Iran, because they have crossed a line. If Hezbollah is left intact as a result of a negotiated peace settlement, or if Hamas is left intact, where does this end up in 5 to 10 years' time? Mm. But repeating itself, and that's the dilemma now. He's crossed a line.
But I mean, he is targeting the leaders, the known leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah, where he can, and taking a lot of innocent civilian lives in the process. But you know, he can't kill everybody. And what Israel is doing is undoubtedly a recruiting sergeant for those organizations going forward.
I mean, I would put a view, which will probably be quite unpopular, is that actually Netanyahu is playing straight into both the hands of Hamas and Hezbollah. Every innocent life lost is a victory for their propaganda war. We know Hamas has no care or consideration for the civilian population, which is, you know, because if they did, they'd have handed back all the hostages and undermined Israel's motivation for carrying on the conflict. It's as simple as that. It's binary. With regard to Hezbollah, you know, they have been masters at manipulating local populations. Don't forget, well, I'm sure you don't forget, but in 2022, an Irish peacekeeper was killed after months of tension between UNIFIL and Hezbollah in an incident which allegedly was a result of a misunderstanding with so-called villagers. The manipulation of civilian populations is part of their armory. But the problem is that Israel seems to have put itself on a trajectory where it just doesn't care about international opinion. And this is new in terms of global politics. And it's also very dangerous because it means there are no checks and balances that we would expect to see from the rule of law and the application of international law.
Now, what is going on, even our own Deputy Prime Minister Tánish Tamil Martin has referred to as Israel's war crimes. And there is no doubt that terrible things have been done. And the idea that people who, you know, pull the trigger or press the button that sends the rocket into a civilian target, that they will escape retribution. Many of them will expect to travel the world when this is all over in 4 or 5 years' time, maybe, and find themselves maybe being arrested at some airport in some godforsaken place and being dragged before a court. Is that,
I think,
you know, I was only obeying orders doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't, and we dispelled that defense in between 1945 and 1947 after the Second World War. But I think that the thing to bear in mind here is that nobody at this point can ever deny that Israel has an unalienable right to self-defense. That is still a fact of life, and Israel has got to come to terms with what the world looks like in a post-October 7th regional interface with its neighbors. Israel's position, and we can see this, is that they have got to eradicate the threat. But they can't eradicate the threat forever. At some point, Netanyahu will go. At some point, there'll be an election in the United States, and I'm quite sure that one of the priorities for whoever is elected, be it Harris or Trump, both of which I think will come with their own baggage and their own issues, will be to try and stop this conflict. But you've, in terms of stopping a conflict, to ramp up the tension, to ramp up the alienation that Israel is feeling in the world right now, which is frustrating for many people who would wish to support Israel's sovereignty, it is very hard to see where this ends. And I think that the really worrying issue at the moment is that It is a calculation, I'm sure, in Netanyahu's mind, is that escalation is the only way forward in this. They've just got to keep accelerating into it, because if they don't, if they were to stop now, what is there to stop Iran rearming Hezbollah, reconstituting Hamas, and repeating the cycle? And it's a dilemma. I think this only ends with one thing, which is some form of international peacekeeping force, some form of imposed peace. But that is a long way off yet because there's no appetite within the international community for it.
Now, we've talked at great length about October the 7th in the immediate aftermath and many, many times since, and what a terrible atrocity it was. But where Israel has fallen foul of the international community, international opinion, is in proportionality. And this is what will nail them to the cross, if you'll pardon that phrase.
Yes, and I think that we've seen, don't forget, hospitals bombed over since October the 7th on the basis that they had been taken over by Hamas as control centres. And to a certain degree, I think there has been an element of accepting the fact that Hamas, as the organisation they are, the cynical organisation they are, perhaps shouldn't be allowed to hide in hospitals. I think we crossed that line. But there seems to be an increasing tempo of laissez-faire with regard to Palestinian lives. And there, it is hard to imagine a situation where Israel's international reputation is in the gutter at the moment. But to continue to pursue this line where civilians are being martyred in the eyes of Hamas, it's dumb warfare, because ultimately it's going to come back and bite you. And I can see situations, you've alluded to, where individuals, where force commanders are hauled up and are arrested under international arrest warrants. This has gone way too far now, and I think it's not actually benefiting Israel.
The Israelis are obviously at home not seeing the kind of media coverage that we're seeing. I mean, yesterday, an 11-hour-old baby, terribly wounded by an Israeli attack, mother killed in the process, father killed in the process, grandfather trying to look after the baby. If Israelis could see the reality of what their IDF is doing, do you think it would change public opinion?
I think the problem at the moment is that most Israelis are still generally supportive of the current campaign, because it's, you know, they're in it to win it. I think the at the human level, you know, if you go to war as a nation, as Israel has done, you have to demonize the enemy. You cannot regard them as equals. You cannot regard them as your brothers and sisters and neighbors. Otherwise, the war is very difficult to fight. And I think that you're dealing now with generations of pent-up frustration, anger, minor grievances that have blown themselves out of all proportion now. This is not about France versus Germany. This is something far more visceral. And this is what is going to be the hardest genie to put back in the bottle, because it is, if you go back over the years of UN peacekeeping operations, a lot of the most extraordinary characters that were involved in trying to unravel conflict over the years would describe this level of conflict as a virus, and it spreads like a virus. It infects people's minds. And I think right now, at this stage of the game, there will be members of the IDF, which ultimately is a moral organization, who will be questioning their actions, who will be concerned about their actions. But the other thing to bear in mind, Israel's been at this now for over a year. They're a small nation. These troops and these IDF members are fatigued, that they're also probably blind and to a certain degree, you know, used to this process. They'll be in a mindset which is not necessarily as questioning as it would have been 12 months ago, because this is what's happening and it's normal and it's happening around them. I won't go on for too long, but there are numerous studies that show that after a period of time, people become inured to what's going on around them, that normal, decent people get drawn into the most appalling issues and the most appalling circumstances. And we saw it in the Second World War, and we're seeing it again now. But I think that Netanyahu is effectively mortgaging Israel's soul at the moment, and it is a great tragedy. It's a double tragedy, and I think we just now have to keep our fingers crossed that the escalation with Iran, which I think is coming, is not something that is going to have a terminal impact in the region.
Duncan Bullivan, thank you very much for joining us. Duncan is CEO of the Henderson Group, an international risk management advisory.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.